Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me again is my good friend and co-host, Dan. How are you doing, Dan?
Yeah, very good. We've all been experienced to a fantastic weekend of sport. We had Ronaldo back playing for Man United. Emma Raducanu won the US Open. We had Djokovic aiming to be the GOAT of the GOAT of men's tennis, I suppose. World Cup of Darts. Love my darts. NFL was on. You'd be happy about that. And then, of course, cracking games at ISL. So, yeah, couldn't ask for much better weekend.
Do I need to remind you this is a swimming podcast?
I love sports in general.
Dan told me he was going to speak about this, but I mean, this is swim podcast, Dan, swim podcast. So
yeah.
We're back again with another guest, and it's a return guest for us. It's our first ever return guest on the Propulsion Swim podcast. She was our second ever elite guest, Abby Wood. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you for having me. I feel like a lot's happened in the past year since we last spoke. So yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, so basically in this podcast, we're going to touch upon your last 12 months in swimming, because when we first spoke to you, you were basically only just breaking out at ISL. You had just got your first win on the board in the 2020 season. And since then, you've gone on to Olympic finals. You're now leading the breakers a year later. There's a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, it's been a pretty mad year. I feel like my whole, like, all the training and stuff has all, like, come through this year. And, yeah, it's been a pretty big whirlwind, to be honest. Like, if you'd asked me about 18 months ago if this is how last season would have gone, like, I just wouldn't have believed it at all.
Mm. How much has the team helped you at Loughborough, helped and supported you throughout this whole journey so far?
I've been at Loughborough for, like, 6 years now. So I just think because there were so many people from Loughborough at the games and at ISL, and like with me every step of the way, it kind of made it like a home away from home, like especially in Tokyo where you could get homesick because it's a very different country in Japan. And I just feel like the support's been unreal at Loughborough. Like, it really is like my second family. And yeah, like, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else for swimming at the moment.
So if we think back to your first breakout swims at ISL, why we invited you onto the podcast, it was the start of something special. Were you kind of surprised about how the season turned out from that point?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely just wanted to keep the momentum going. And I felt like the fear always is that when you do well short course, you don't just want to be a short course swimmer. So I kind of wanted to back up everything that I'd done long course. And I feel like after ISL, like, it was just in my head, like, I wanted to get my like name on the list to go to the games. Like, I didn't at all think the games would go how they went, and like for my career to kind of take off and swim in. And yeah, like, the whole year has just been such a whirlwind, but yeah, I wouldn't have had it any other way, so it's good.
If you had time to sort of understand, like, get an understanding of what you've actually achieved.
I think it's hard to, like, realise when you're in the middle of it. Because I remember when I got back from Tokyo, like, obviously, like, there was... because everything was so close, like, if I'm honest, like, I was a bit upset. And then I spoke to, I don't know if you heard, like, Ian Armiger, who's, like, Loughborough legend coach. And he just, like, listed out all the things that I'd done in the past year and, like, where I was before that. And he was just like, I know it's hard to see, but I think when he said it to me, like, I kind of did realise, like, what I'd done this year. And, like, before he said that, I hadn't. Because, like, before this year, I hadn't got even in a senior final or, like, got a senior medal. I hadn't, I kind of forgot everything I'd done because the year was just such a whirlwind. And, obviously, once you've achieved one goal, you're on to the next one straight away and you really don't have time to reflect on what you've done. And, yeah, I feel like when he spoke to me after the games, he was just like, you got to put it into perspective. And I feel like that really helped me a lot because I had forgotten a lot of stuff I'd done and where I was this time, like 18 months ago. Like, I was like not a lot going on in my swimming career.
I mean, if we start upon your kind of build up to Tokyo, you said the main aim from ISL was carrying on that momentum towards the Olympic cycle. Now, when we spoke to you, you said you found that ISL worked for you because it was fast racing. It was constant racing. How tough was it then to go from short course, really fast racing to long course and some really quite slow paced meets at Manchester and Glasgow? How important was it that you found your footing for that new rhythm leading into that Olympic Games?
I think what ISL gave me last season was like the confidence that I really didn't have, and it like ISL just allows you to swim against the best often. So that kind of gave me like my first platform that I needed to like know like I am up against, like I can race against some of the best in the world. And then it was hard going into Manchester, but I think because like everyone was so eager to race. Because the gap from ISL to Manchester was still a good like 3-4 months, and I felt because I hadn't raced long course in so long, I felt I wasn't going in as blind as other people that hadn't done ISL. Like, I knew I was in a good place, so I remember just saying to my coach, like I think we were like a week out, and I was just like, oh, I just want to race now. Like, you could kind of feel it, and like that's why there were so many like fast times posted. At the first Manchester meet, everyone was just so excited to get racing again and kind of see what they could do. So I think if anything, like obviously it wasn't as fast a meet as like ISL, but I think I just had more confidence than I had than I would have had if I didn't do ISL, because I knew I was in a good place, which I wouldn't have known otherwise, and I would have been going in blind like I was in ISL.
Yeah. Did you practice any specific stuff with Dave in training in a lead up to trials, I suppose?
I think my lead up to trials was probably my most scariest lead into a big competition, because I actually trapped a nerve in my shoulder. So I think the whole thing I did in my taper up to trials was like just keep doing sets that will build my confidence back up, because I had to like pull out of one of the Manchester meets, and then it was kind of touch and go if I could. I think it was the 200 breaths that I struggled with the most with my shoulder, which is weird because normally you think of a shoulder injury and you'd immediately think fly would be the most effective, but it was weirdly breaststroke, and it was kind of touch and go whether I was going to do it there. And I think every session was just, we just like sat down and we were like, right, we're going to have to scrap our normal taper plan and just think like what's going to build my most confidence, because I feel like for me, like, I felt like I've been physically ready for a long time, but I feel like it's my mental that's like had to catch up. I felt like that's what the last year's changed, and I feel like that's what ISL triggered, like the confidence that I didn't have before. Because I feel like physically, like obviously, like I have changed a lot. Like I've been doing more gym and stuff, but I feel like mental plays a lot, like just as much a part in swimming as physical. So it was just like, as going into the trials, it was all just like, what set will make you feel good? What set will make you feel good? And they were like, we'll do this, 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 and this. And yeah, I felt there was like little tweaks that, like, obviously my breaststroke had come on so much. So there was like little tweaks in like technique that we were on it with. But I feel like mental was the biggest impact.
So the qualifying for the 200 breaststroke then, did it catch you slightly by surprise?
I think I was more surprised when I first did it at Manchester meet, because I think going into Manchester meet, my PB was like a 227, and then Dave just kind of ended me on like a whim, and he was like, oh, like you enjoy breaststroke, like why don't you just give 200 breaststroke a go? And I
feel like there was a plan there. There was a plan. He saw something in training.
Tell me the plan. I was not in on the plan, because I just did it, and I was like, where has that come from? Because obviously, like, I had Molly next to me, and I was like, oh, like, I'm sticking with Molly here. Like, I'm just going to try and keep going. And, yeah, like, I just stuck to her. And, like, I was so shocked. I remember it was both turning to each other, because that was the first time she'd got under her British record since 2016 in Rio. So it was a really special race for her, and it was nice that we both got to do that together. And the same as trials, like, I was gutted that I didn't get the qualifying time in the 200 free, but the next day I had the 200 breaths, and then I realised that, like, oh, it was nice that we both made the games together in that race, as shocked as I was. Like, and especially I didn't think I'd take another second off at trials, and she did a massive PB as well. And yeah, I was very surprised. I don't know if Dave knew it all along, but I definitely didn't.
You spoke about the mental side and the psychology side. Out of interest, how many times a week do you go and see a psychologist up at Loughborough, if you even do in the first place?
Interestingly, I started after the first ISL, I think Dave kind of thought, like, we need to prepare Abby mentally. And the best person he had for, I think it was my idea, actually. And I was like, oh, like, maybe an ex-swimmer will help me more than an actual psychologist. Like, I do see the psychologist at Loughborough, but I feel like I needed someone that had gone through all this whirlwind that I, like, Dave thought I was about to go through. And so I started having, it was like every 2 weeks that I'd have a call with Jazz Carlin. And I think that was like one of the benefits. Yeah, like me and her got on really well anyway, because like we shared rooms in the past at like altitude camps. And I think it was my idea, and I was just like, I really would benefit someone who's actually gone through it all. And kind of like a girl who you can talk more about than a psychologist, and she'd just get it more. And I feel like there was a lot less filter than what you might use with a psychologist. And yeah, I think that really benefited me. And then she came to trials, so she was there as well if I needed to talk to her. And it was kind of just like, whenever I needed her, I could just like give her a bell. And then she would relay some stuff back to Dave of how I was feeling, like, and like what I needed to think about more. And yeah, it was like a really good like three-way system that we set up.
I mean, Jazz has many strings to her bow. Clearly, she's coaching out for Energy Standard, psychologist, podcast, everything.
Well, she's just been through it all, and I feel like she knew how it felt to like, I was off funding and she'd been off funding, and then her trials didn't go as planned. So then she had all the stories for like bouncing back if it didn't go to plan. So like we had a chat before trials, and she was like, oh, if you don't do it on this event, you've still got these events. And like, she just had so many like stories in her locker and it like experience that I feel like you couldn't really get from a psychologist to understand like completely, because they haven't been a swimmer.
Do you think that's something that maybe British swimmers would look into a little bit more in the future? Do you think you'd like to mentor someone coming up through the ranks?
I think maybe, but I feel like because this was such like a kind of more like a genuine, like just ask like a friend for help, I feel like hopefully that like, all younger swimmers, like maybe just like younger swimmers to know that they can ask older swimmers who've been through it all for that kind of support. Because I feel like if someone like asked me who I kind of knew, like I'd want to help. I don't know. I haven't got nowhere near.
Well, it's a bit like
Jazz, but like maybe one day.
Yeah, it's a bit like Jacob, who's kind of quietly being mentored by Adam and Luke and that Mel Marshall squad. The way they're bringing him up through the ranks, I think you're naturally seeing it now.
Kind of naturally happen.
So if we touch upon the Olympics, then. How was your overall experience from your first Olympic Games? You went there with, what, your two best friends as well. It must have been great fun.
Oh, yeah, when we all made it at trials, like, we were all on cloud nine, and I feel like the girls being there with me, like, in my apartment, it really just felt like a home from home. Like, I didn't get homesick. Like, the girls, we were with each other all the way through, like, quite an emotional week of racing, it felt like. Like, you do get zapped to the energy. Like, it's either like I didn't get to watch the swimming until the last day because I had quite a busy schedule. But I remember talking to some of the girls and they were like, there's tears in the stands like every day. And like, it's either like happiness or like you're gutted for someone. And like, just to have the girls there with me and like for me to be there for them as well, like, I feel like we definitely benefited. And there was a big group from Loughborough. I think there was about 10, 11 of us. So it just made it quite, and obviously I had my coach Dave there, and I think it all just kind of came together how it needed to. And that was like I was in the best position I could have been.
Yeah. Well, you've already talked about finishing fourth. And you said that you were gutted beforehand, but have you now settled into knowing what you have achieved? We've kind of spoke about it before, but you did hit a PB. It was in a morning final. I think actually it was a really massive achievement. You should you should hold your head up really high.
Yeah, I feel like you obviously look at like, oh, in hindsight, I could have done this different because like it's like 0.1 of a second is like nothing. And I didn't really, it didn't really hit me what had happened until about 2 weeks after that, because I feel like on the day I didn't have time to think about it at all because I had the 200 breaststroke heats that night. So I think like obviously there was some tears, and I think I had about, I was like 10 minutes and that was it. And I was like, I can't think about it until I've like finished the games. And then obviously like, after the games, like you get home, there's so much going on. And I feel like when I think it was like 2 weeks after I got back that I finally had like a day to myself. And I think it did hit me like, I felt I still haven't got to the place where I'm, obviously I'm proud of myself, but I've still not got to the place where I'm like over it in the sense where I can like be like over the moon about it, because it is, it's just like so bittersweet. Like I felt coming fourth at the Olympic Games is one of the harshest things, but like it is sport as well. So like,
is it still like a driving force? Is that kind of what it is? It's like an itch you need to scratch kind of thing. It's something that you need to settle.
Like obviously like when Max came back from Rio, like I feel like I'll be how he is now. Like he can't, like he doesn't leave any like stone unturned, like he covers all bases, and I feel like I'm definitely going to be in that mindset now, and it will be a driving force for me for the next 3 years, definitely. Like even like I had a meeting with Dave after, and I was just like, right, like this can't happen again, like I never want to feel like this again. So in that sense, like, yeah, it's like a massive driving force, definitely.
Speaking of Max, does he offer actually any words of advice in any way? Because he's finished fourth twice, which is, we were gutted watching it, let alone what he was feeling. But has he offered any words of advice at all to you?
I think he just kind of like dropped me a message and was like, he was just like, I'm here if you need me kind of thing. And I thought it's like maybe a conversation to have when I get back and get into proper training again. Like, because I feel like in the break, like it was something that I didn't want to delve too deep into, but I like know that like Max is definitely the best person to go to for it, and I feel like he's not that he can come to me, but like he knows that I know how it feels as well, because it is such a rare situation. Because I don't know, like we're not on, like obviously like we're not ungrateful at all, but like it's just so hard when like no one else knows how you're feeling. And
I appreciate that. I mean, if we move nicely on, the ISL this year then, how much is jumping straight into a fun environment, a team environment where swimming looks really enjoyable, absolutely no pressure in the world? How has that helped reset and help you move on?
I think the turnaround from Olympics into ISL was definitely so short. Like, I feel like I have some boots to fill from last year, so I feel like I was very much in my own head that I was like, I can't have too much time off, because I don't know, like, not that there would, I don't know, like, I feel like the breakers would like rely on me in a sense that like I want to perform well for them, so I feel like I didn't really give myself a lot of time off, which I'm glad I didn't now, because like, I do feel like in a good enough place like to deliver some like okay swims for them, and like I would have regretted if I didn't, but I feel like I'll definitely have a bit more of a break when I get back. But in terms of like being here, like it is kind of what you said, like it is like a playground for the swimmers. Like I feel like it's very all different in Capri. To last year, because we're not just all locked in a hotel.
All in Capri, having fun on the boats by the looks of it for the past week.
Yeah, like it's just stuff like that. Like it just, I remember sat there and I was just like, this is my job. Like, this is just so mad. Like,
you're earning money doing this.
Lucky we are. I feel like, especially in lockdown, it made me realise how much I didn't want to go into a proper job yet. And I feel like these are the reasons why, like, 5 weeks in Italy, like, racing with at like really good competitions where, like, it's not just like a normal open meet where, like, the atmosphere is so good, like all you're swimming for your team rather than yourself, which obviously brings out good swims in you. And then in your downtime you can like go out for meals, like do trips away, like it's a very different vibe to last year, but in a good way, because I feel like everyone's just having a lot more fun, because we're not just hotel on an island of Budapest.
On an island, yeah.
So you don't feel any extra pressure on your shoulders because Mike Andrews not there, so you are now captain of the Breakers. How is it now with younger, less experienced swimmers now looking up to you to be the benchmark?
It's so weird because, like, in my head, the team, but I don't know, I feel like I do forget my age sometimes. Like, I feel like I still feel like 18, and I think it was a real, like, I was very honoured to obviously be a captain, like, to be asked to be a captain. Like, I've been on the Breakers like 3 years now. Like, I know all the staff well from last year, and, like, obviously a lot of people on the team, and I think, I don't know, I feel like I was just a bit of a character last year, so everyone still wanted me, like, leading the way a bit, but I don't know how good of a leader I am, but I don't know, like...
I mean, you're leading MVP points for them, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you're doing a good job kind of setting the tone in the pool.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, I feel like as the matches go on, like, we've got some more people that have come out this week, so hopefully we'll just get stronger and stronger each match. And I feel like the Breakers is like, there's like no pressure from any of the staff. Like, there's no like, and they're not like annoyed at us if like we're not like whatever ranked or whatever. They just know everyone's trying the hardest, and it's like a really good vibe on the Breakers at the moment. And like, we're all just trying to have the best time.
I mean, how much is it... I hate to use this word, but like development, how much is it where there's quite a lot of young swimmers in that squad? How much is it you guys developing bonds for future years racing? Is it developing skills, learning from each other? Because it's quite a multicultural team as well, isn't it? There's swimmers from all over the world. It's quite almost a weird team for ISL, the way it's made up, but it seems to work better than the rest of the teams in terms of a close-knit squad.
Yeah, it is really weird. I feel like I find it easy because there's like quite a big group of Brits. But then I feel like everyone does like include everyone. Like, for example, like the new people this week, as soon as there's a new person, we're like, oh, let's all go out for a meal with this person, like make them feel really welcome. Like, there's such big characters on the team, like Brandon Almeida, like the Brazilian, like the Aussie boys. Like, I feel like there's a lot of different cultures. I feel like that's why we are so close, because we just find each other's like habits and little mix like funny, and like it just like develops a humour within the team, like, because we're not all from the same place, so we all have so much to talk about, so much to ask each other. And then obviously like there's loads of different ways of training, so like this week I've joined in with like Brendan Smith, who's obviously just got a bronze medal at the Olympics, which like for me, like he does a lot, very, very different sessions to what I normally do. And then I've kind of joined in with some of the new boys as well who have just come in. So I think because there's so many different people from so many different places, there's just so much to learn from each other. In and out of the pool, so I don't know, it obviously shows. And like me and Joe's captains, like we made sure that we had like a team bonding night when we got here, and just like played some games to get to know each other, and then we organized some trips, and then like when it's people's birthday we celebrate birthdays. Like, I feel like we're just very on it, and like we have like the swimmers group chat, and then there's the one with the staff as well, and I feel like we've just got a good rhythm going with everyone, and it's really nice to be a part of.
Yeah. How does the training work? Because we spoke to Ed last week, and he said he's in the middle of doing 7K sessions. Is that the same for you guys as well? Or is it sort of mix and match for different strokes, different distances?
I think because there's so many people in so many different places and doing obviously so many different events, like, say, like, for example, like, for me, like, I don't want to go straight into doing 7Ks because I've just had 1 week off after the Olympics, and then I was back in it. And Dave kind of said to me, like, you don't want to go grilling yourself now to be fed up when you get back, when that's when you want the hard training to start. He was like, you just got to maintain, like, you've still got your fitness from the Olympics, like, you haven't lost it over in the space of a week. So for me, it's more about maintaining. But then for other people who... like didn't go to Tokyo, like they'll be using this as like their one of their major meets. And There's about six different groups, I'd say, and you kind of just slot in where you want. Like, there's no pressure. Like, we're all adults. Like, everyone can do what they think's best for them and for them, how they're going to best perform. And I feel like it's very chill. Like, I'm definitely not being told what to do. Like, I kind of know now what I need to do for myself. And I would say I'm doing about, like, 5K sessions with maintenance gym and just, like, building up some fitness and then just some speed as well. Like, back off the back of Tokyo, so...
Mm. Yeah, the racing's almost a bonus, really.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Man, it really does sound like a swimmer's paradise out there. I'm just watching all the Instagram stories sat in the rain in the UK, just like, oh, yeah. Wow, this looks good.
The weather looks so good out there, but yeah, jealous.
Yeah, it has. Like, I feel like the breakers are only just getting the sun now because they kind of rotate who's in what pool. So we've got 2 weeks in the outdoor pool now. So
Be warned, when you come back, winter is kind of begun.
It's hit slightly. That. I won't want to come back.
It's getting dark at 6 now. It's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've still got a good, like, 2.5 weeks left. So.
So if we look forward to the rest of this year, it's a crazy year. It's bonkers. Oh, there's three massive meets. You've got Europeans, you've got Commonwealths, you've got Worlds. You then throw in there's World Short Course as well, and European Short Course, I think, got announced today.
Yeah, mental, isn't it?
How do you sit down with Dave and plan this year? Do you target every meet? Do you say, look, this is the title I want? Is it a case of just being ready whenever there's a racing opportunity?
I think there's definitely ones I can target, but I feel like I showed last year that I've done about 6 209s now, and it was the same as, like, I did, like, Manchester, Glasgow, Tokyo, like, three times. Like, I feel like I'm in a place now where I can, like, perform throughout the season rather than just, like, building up to one. So that's a strength, but I'll definitely, like, sit down with him still, and, like, I've got a meeting with him when I get back. Like, it's kind of already booked in. Like, I'll have, like, my short term, like, what I want at the end of this short course block, and then I think we'll then have the conversation, maybe more after Christmas, about what I'm going to target. But I feel like you kind of just got to think, like, what title you want the most. And
there's also so many events that you could potentially do as well, because what is it, the 4x1 relay, you've got a chance of getting into that for the freestyle, and that one's coming along nicely with some young girls coming up through the ranks. You could do the 200 free, you could target that. There's the 200 IM, 200 breaststroke. Is it a case of right now not shutting the doors for the Olympic cycle and just trying to race as much and seeing what sticks?
I think I've always kind of played it by events wise as I've gone on. I feel like it won't change. Like, I always train medley, and that opens so many doors for different events. And Dave would never close any off. Like, he'd always, like, ask me which I want to do and which he thinks can come through. Like, for example, like, I dropped the 400 medley long course because it was just, I just wasn't enjoying it. So we dropped that. And then
it's too fast, too far.
Yeah, it's like, it's the mental battle I had with it. It was just horrible. So he was just like, well, you're not enjoying it. Like, it's going to have an impact on you more than you realize. And as soon as I dropped it, like, that's kind of when everything else took off. And then he does joke with me about, like, it's restarting that. But I feel like maybe because there's less pressure on it now, I might one day, but I don't know, maybe not this season. And then obviously, like, the girls 4x1, like, that's so exciting. Like, that was so out of the blue for me. Like, I just remember, like, getting a call from Mel. I think it was, like, 3 hours before the Europeans final. And they were like, oh, like, I've thrown your name in the hat because you did a good 200 free. Like, you're in the 100 free relay. And I was like, all right, okay. And then we just kind of went on. I didn't even have a 100 freestyle PB. I think it's, like, I think I've just broke a minute, like, in an individual. Oh, wow. And then she was just like, oh, just, like, see what you can do. And then we went on to win and get a British record. So then us four girls obviously went on to come fifth in an Olympic final. And that Olympic final was the third time us four had swam together as a quad. So, like,
so much
it was just, it really is just the start of us four girls. And Obviously, with the younger 100 freestyle girls coming up, like hopefully we'll have more alternates to make it more of a tactical race, because we kind of just only had the same team for the heats and finals in Tokyo. And then, yeah, I don't know. I'll see what else comes. I feel like the 200 medley is obviously going to stick, I hope. And then I had I have idea what else. It's kind of just what I enter at some open meets and what in, what comes through and what doesn't. I feel like I always stick to the medleys, and then each season I kind of like choose a different event to kind of go towards. And I feel like that's what keeps me interested in the sport, rather than just chasing times in the same events all the time. And I feel like that's what makes it most exciting for me. I kind of just see how far I can take which events. And yeah.
It was a shame at Tokyo because the 4x2 was in the same session as the 200 IM and the 200 breaststroke. So, of course, you had absolutely no chance of racing. Well, I mean, you could have, but you would have died badly. And it's such a shame because I really like the idea of taking a relay team or every relay team to every major competition. So it's a big shame. I don't know what your thoughts are on us not taking a 4x2 to Tokyo.
Yeah, it was a hard call. But I feel like for us girls individually, like obviously Freya had a lot going on as well, and it kind of just didn't work for us both, which was, it was a real shame because obviously I love swimming in relays, but it's like when Jimmy had to pull out of his individuals, like you do have to make hard decisions that will impact the team. And I felt, but from the start, me and Dave made it very clear to British Swimming that it just wouldn't have been possible for me to do the 4x2. And I don't know, obviously, like maybe it's something that we could like think about in the future, but I feel like they kind of said like unless the team is like avid to like make a medal or something, they would just kind of like it's okay. It was a shame because I felt like I was one of the people that, because I said no, it like made it a bit more unlikely, which is shame.
We'll end on a more positive note. What's the target for the next? What's the target for the next 3 years? Because Olympics are they're a lot closer this time. Is that 200 IM the sole sticking point, and then you work around it?
I think so, definitely. Like coming fourth has just made me hungrier than ever. And I just think because it was always a thought of like stuff like that being so far out of my reach, and the fact that I was like point whatever. It's kind of like clicked my head now that like it could happen to me. And because like before last year, I didn't even think I'd be on the team. For it all to just kind of the snowball effects, like I didn't until like, I watched my final back, I kind of realized like, God, like, I was in an Olympic final, like I was close. So I feel like now I've got a bit more confidence in myself, and I know that I am. Like a handful of the girls in the world that are up there to compete for an Olympic medal, like it does kind of like get you going a bit, and hopefully it will like be a driving force in training with a lot of the rest of my group, because it's like a lot of near misses, and I feel like now I'm definitely going to be hungrier than ever, and I know Dave definitely is as well.
Well, Abby, I mean, we've been singing your praises since we first spoke to you at ISL. We think you're what a superstar of British swimming, really. I cannot wait to see how the next 3 years go and how your confidence builds. I really like hearing actually that you use Jazz Carling as kind of a helping hand as well. I actually really interesting. Like that technique. Thank you so much for coming on this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. We've enjoyed talking to you again. It's been a crazy 12 months, but it's been good to reflect with you about, wow, what an incredible journey you've been on since first breaking through.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, good luck for the rest of the season for Breakers. I've actually predicted that Breakers finish sixth. So if you could like G up the rest of the team, that'd be great.
Okay.
You've got money on the line or something, Dan?
No, I don't have money on the line. But good luck either way. So I'm you'll get through to the playoffs, I feel. So we'll see.
If you didn't know, Dan.
Thank you very much. Dan is a message on to everyone.
He's a bit of a Breakers fan, quietly on the side.
Yeah, I am, yeah, quietly, yeah.
Okay, Abby, best of luck for the rest of the season, and crazy summer. We can't wait to see what comes out of that for you. Thank you so much for everyone who's listened to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. We'll be back next week with another show. Until then, please subscribe and we will catch you on the next one.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.